See, you give me two buttons, you confuse me. Yeah. I see now, yeah. Okay. Okay, counselors, you're very welcome. Yeah, there's only one on our own, isn't there? That's... You're very welcome to another AHC meeting. Can I begin with asking, are there any apologies?
Counselor Hart.
Andy. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Maybe just on the chairman's remarks, I've just been informed we got our notice, Liz and I. Is our last meeting as chair and vice chair, and I would just like to put on record my appreciation to Liz, first of all, as vice chair for her help and support, and a particular thanks to Michael, Roman, and Owen, along with Janine, who has been doing a power of working and keeping me right, and a special thanks to Sarah for keeping us all right throughout the course of the year. I think it has. I've enjoyed it, anyway. It's a department that handles a lot of activity within our community, and there are good things happening. So, thanks again, Michael, to you and all your department. And I suppose the committee would like to congratulate Laura Graham. I think maybe Chair did at the last council meeting. But Laura's a lifeguard at Kilkeel Leisure Centre who won the Belfast Marathon in the astonishing time of 2 hours and 41 minutes and 47 seconds to become Northern Ireland's first home winner in 18 years. And I have to say, I've seen her interviewed, and she's also a great ambassador or diplomat for this part of the world. The committee would like to acknowledge and praise the leisure staff for the successful implementation of the leisure management system phase one across the district. And again, it was a seamless transition, but we will begin to see the benefits of that when we see the front end part of this system being implemented. Also, a letter was received from Joan Hines, who has health problems, praising all the staff in Kilkeel Leisure Centre, especially Caroline, Mark and Wayne, who went above and beyond the call of duty. So maybe if we could make sure that Caroline, Mark and Wayne, it's a very nice letter penned by Joan, and if we could make sure that those people are aware of it. And a message has been received from Gillian Simmons from Bangor. She was down at Cranfield for Easter and stated that the gym in Kilkeel Leisure Centre was fantastic. Such a lovely atmosphere when you walk into the centre. She availed the spin class and said that the instructor was brilliant, and she will be using these facilities when she returns to Cranfield. Again, a very nice letter, and I would ask that the staff be made aware of the compliments. We don't receive all that many sometimes, you know, it's usually complaints. So it's good to receive the compliments, and we should make sure that those involved are notified. I would just like also to welcome Bridge Jennings. Bridge is from the County Down Rural Community Network and will be in attendance for the Community Centre agenda item. So you're very welcome this evening, Bridge. Okay. Item 2, declarations of interest. Any declarations to be declared?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is for the action sheet, the first to be some of the software and last one for the customer community partnership. That comes up later.
Okay. Any others?
None from officers.
Okay. Item 4, the community center review. Janine,
take it. Sure. This is the second stage of a four-stage community centre effectiveness review. Original agreement by this committee to carry out the review in April 2016, and then we brought stage one recommendations back in October 2016. Stage two of the review operates or focuses on the operation of 14 centres, who are in receipt of a service level agreement from council. So they're basically community managed centres with a council contribution. And you can see the majority of them, 13 in total, are rural and only one is urban. And they're primarily located in the Legacy Down council area. The report goes into details around some of the operational requirements and the setup of the community associations and centres. They're quite diverse. Some are established as charities, some of these are companies limited by guarantee, some are constituted community groups. Of course, they all rely heavily on volunteers, although some have paid staff also. The report looks at some of the footfall figures that the groups have estimated in partnership with County Down Rural Community Network, who have carried out this review for us. But I suppose we would like to caveat that with these are only a snapshot of the footfall figures that the groups could provide. We may have a centre, for example, that's operating a creche daily, and therefore they will have more people in through the door than a centre who's operating two or three activities weekly, but they're of a more diverse nature. There's some detail in the report around the levels of funding from council, and again, we're looking at figures from £1,600 up to £4,000. These amounts were all agreed by legacy councils. Small figures as they are, in some cases they equated to over 50% of funding the centre had to operate on. So they're quite significant budgets for the community associations that are running the centres. The main recommendations relate to communications and grant aid, and we will be building these recommendations into the final report, which will come back to committee in due course. So if the recommendation from officers is that the committee accept this part of the review and give us approval to move into stage three.
Okay, thanks Janine. Can I have a proposal to move forward?
Just a comment on it, Chair. Janine, you're talking about, you know, moving into stage three, which is going to the DEA fora and for wider discussion on this, these findings. See, the point that you raised about the legacy councils and the funding, I see, you know, some of the clubs like Langstone, I think it was 4,000 funding, and some of the smaller clubs are 1,600. Are you aware of the criteria used for that? Was it solely on footfall? And if so, have you looked into anything going forward about addressing that? Because I know the Down Legacy Councils was, I think it was 3,000 right across the board, irrelevant of footfall or whoever's using the centres. And I think if it wasn't footfall, the fact that Longstones, I think, is 1/25th of their income, whereas other centres is down to a quarter or a fifth or a sixth of their income. So it would actually be more useful for them centres to get, you know, more funding. So I'm just wondering going forward, I know this is gathering information on these centres, I'll be back to the DEA to discuss it, but I'd like to know the criteria that was used for the legacy councils and going forward if there's going to be trying to bring all that in under one roof and have the same as the old Down Legacy Council, which is 3,000 across the board.
Through the chair, I mean, it's such a valid point because it's one of the main reasons why the review is being undertaken. So when we came together as two councils, we were investigating the number of operational models that existed. How were we supporting community organisations? We were managing and running some to 100% with paid staff. We were providing a service level agreement to others. We're providing a facility management agreement to others, and all with a varying amount. And the legacy arrangements in Uri seem to primarily have been made through committee, so recommendations coming to committee. The point of the report is that we can inform how council supports community associations in the way forward. So this committee will make a decision on the amounts or how we should support certain community associations. That's one of the underpinning reasons why we're undertaking the review. No, it seemed to be just a simple request from community associations coming through.
Sure, just for information, I know from the old council the reason why we didn't just do footfall and hours of usage was because we had a number of different buildings in different states of disrepair, and therefore different types of heating system required different amounts of money to run them and make them habitable. Also, some of the centres were being used primarily in the summer when we wouldn't have heating on. Some of them were being used nearly exclusively in the winter when the heating was on flat out. So a lot of it was to do with the type of usage that they were looking for. Some of them had likes of play groups and stuff in it, which we were involved in the social services that have key demands and how things have to be laid out and stuff. So that's why we had a range of different requests for money to support these groups, and that's why it wasn't a one size fits all.
Okay, and
just on that, I think it's just the fact that I think Janine, you made the point that some of the centres is 50%, the SLA funding accounts for 50% of that centre's funding, and I don't want to be using Longstone as an example the whole time. It's like 4% of the income, so to try and get one strategy right across community centres would be helpful. Just on the one recommendation, is that a recommendation that you would like to be brought to the DAAs on establishing a small grants fund for modernisation of the centres of the 30 grand? Is that something that you're looking to be discussed at DAAs, and if so, what budget would it be coming out of?
Through the chair, the recommendations will all go to the DEA. So stage one to stage four will push out their own recommendations. We've dealt with some of them previously in the committee that came out of stage one. So we're trying to progress on some of the recommendations if there's no resource implications. But the body of the report, the audit of effectiveness, will have to go to the DEAs, and really will go after stage four is complete, with a view to implementing all of the recommendations, especially those that require resource. We'll need approval at committee level also. It would be, yes.
Sure. Just an information point. Would it be fair to say that there was more of a tendency in Nurium 1 Council to man and to staff and manage community centres, whereas in Down Council they generally let community organisations run them? Is that correct?
Yes, well, through the chair, yes. If you look at the facility management agreements, which are council-owned buildings run by community volunteers, they're primarily focused, or they're primarily stayed in the Legacy, Newry and Mourne district. Down Legacy looked at more service level agreements, so it was contribution to community organisations who are operating out of their own buildings. So just based on the number of facility management agreements, service level agreements,
it becomes a cultural thing, whereas the Down Council encouraged local groups to build and manage community centres. Was it true that the Newry generally had its own buildings that might have been managed or staffed by community organisations? What was the difference between the two?
I don't think it can be as simplified. I think in the Legacy Down area, we have more centres that seem to be 100% managed and have council staff. So I don't think it can be easily broken down that we prefer to support community groups in Legacy Down and community centres owned by council in Newry and Mourne.
John,
through the chair, just checking, what would be the timescale for the completion right the way through to phase four? It's just that I would be quite eager to see some of these recommendations coming as soon as possible, because as it's shown in this report, a lot of these community centres are the lifeblood of the rural communities that we have here, and especially given I can see that there's 6 out of the 15 in this year part of the report there in the Down Patch of DEA, and knowing that we do have a displaced community and that there are these vital facilities in place, I'm just conscious that we want to make sure that we can help them as much as possible, as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Sure, the terms of reference have a time scale included, so we're looking at completion and consultation through the DEAs no later than December 2017. But the time scale can slip if County Down Road Community Network can't really get access to the groups. They've been talking to quite a number of groups, and sometimes they're just not readily available. That's the time scale we're hoping to stick to.
Okay, Megan.
Yes, Chair. Just in terms of the financial questions, the idea is that we'll have this finished by December time. That's time for us to have and put into the rates still. So anything that has a financial implication will go through the rates process. It's envisaged that the money would be spent in the next financial year, not this financial year. So it's just to make that point. I know this takes a long time, but we're trying to do it very methodically. We want to have extensive consultation through the DEA, so we make sure we get this right before we implement it next year.
Okay, and we had a proposer and a seconder. You have those, sir?
Yeah.
Okay, could I say that I jumped over item 3 there. Just are there any issues arising from the action sheet?
Can I just ask a question on the Barcroft Community Centre? One, just about the fencing, if there was any update on that, because it's been a wee while and I haven't heard anything back. It's just I had brought it up before about the green fencing on it at the minute. The community had asked for that to be removed, and they were going to look into maybe smaller wooden fencing or something along those lines, so I haven't had any.
I don't know if
the
name was
Julie and Connor were both following that up, but I found another update and get back to you directly then. Great, that's brilliant, thank you.
Okay, any other items in the action sheet? Happy enough, thank you. Item 5, community support loans, Janine.
Members, the paper has been tabled following a notice of motion to council. We have held a number of internal and external meetings to understand the background to some of the cash flow problems that were discussed in terms of groups who are undertaking larger capital projects, and were they, when trying to draw down funding and support from council, experiencing cash flow problems. So we've detailed the cross-departmental meetings that were undertaken. We also met with County Down Rural Community Network, who administered a community loan scheme on behalf of Legacy Down Council. And we also met with a charitable organisation, Ulster Community Investment Trust, to try and investigate some of the organisations that currently exist and provide community support loans to community associations undertaking larger projects. The main points we are trying to communicate to committee are that council officers at the minute are working very closely with community associations that are undertaking larger capital projects, and we're not aware of any major cash flow problems that they're experiencing. The resources don't currently exist internally to administer a community loan scheme. However, if resource was made available in the future, we could look to establish a fund management system, which again would be providing resource to an external body to provide community support loans on behalf of council and make sure that revenue stays within the district. There, as alluded to, the charitable organisations that exist have a proven track record locally and a very low failure rate in terms of turning groups down who do require a loan. And finally, the programmes unit are undertaking a review of their financial assistance process, where they are asking groups for 50% match fund to any application that they have. So the recommendation, Chair, is that we continue to support community organisations who are undertaking community capital projects. We signpost them to the charitable organisations that exist and can provide them with a community support loan scheme if necessary. And we continue to investigate fund management loan arrangements, subject to budget available in 18-19. And during this period, we will also reassess the levels of match funding required by council for community capital projects as part of the financial assistance review.
Thanks, Janine. Stephen?
Chair, happy to propose the auditor's recommendation. It's a good idea. I think we brought in County Down Rural Community Network previously, and one of the main reasons was to do with the Rural Development Committee, and making monies had to be spent a little bit quicker than it could be loaned out to them. So it was a very useful tool, and it allowed a lot of our community associations to you know, make the likes of play parks and stuff like that a reality. So I'm very happy to support the officer's recommendation, particularly looking forward to the 18-19 putting some sort of a budget together for us to get involved a little heavier. One thing I would say, I mean, we need to support our community organisations in regards to capital, and the capital is very competitive out there. And one of the lessons I think we as a council need to learn is from our own call for capital that was on recently, where we don't allow the community organisations to make the most of the work that they can do themselves internally. So if they're building, say, a gymnasium or building a play park or something like that, if they can have the skill set in their community and can get the groundworks done and get contractors done, on our current capital, all that happens is that we will fund equipment on a 50-50 basis. So if they get a contractor in to do the whole lot, the contractor puts a bill in, we pay half of it and they pay half of it. Well, the reality is if they didn't use that contractor, they could do that work themselves. And if we would pay for the materials and they paid for the labour, they would get a lot more for their money using their own expertise. And it means that we get a lot more built for the same amount of money for ourselves. So I think we're always learning in this process. I think what's done is done in the past, but we have to try and be better. So I would like maybe if we could take on them sentiments as well and add that into the basis of the community room.
Thanks,
David.
Can you second it?
Chairperson.
I'm conscious now you don't sit in this committee, so...
Chairperson, I was expecting an invitation to this debate, because that was my motion that originally triggered this.
I appreciate that.
I didn't get the invitation, but luckily John Trainor warned me about it today, so I was able to get along, invitation or not. just to address it, Chairperson, this wasn't originally intended to be tackling issues like £20,000 or £30,000 loans. For instance, the Ballyhorn and Development Association was able to borrow £20,000 on the foot of a plastic bag grant from UKIP, and that wasn't a problem. But when we got a grant of £3,000 or £5,000 from council, it is a problem because UKIP don't go that low, you know. And quite often community organisations find themselves having to fund projects which they can't do. You're talking about small organisations. Let's say, for instance, in Kilif recently, they got a £1,500 grant to buy a patch of land for a future play park. The foot of it was that the chairperson of the Residents Association had to lend £750, and I had to lend £750 to the Residents Association so they could pay out and then reclaim it back from the council. Most community organisations don't have this sort of money. I mean, there's various ways of getting around it. I mean, the Dunpatrick Community Collective, seven or eight residents associations, have a policy through the community collective of lending money to each other. So they can pay for one particular grant and then claim it back while using the money of maybe a different residents association. But it's a very clumsy mechanism for tackling it. So this motion was never intended to tackle those big ticket items, even though they need to be considered. It was talking about the £3,000 loan or the £5,000 loan you might need for the Strangford Community Festival, and how you're going to pay for all of that. Well, we'd get maybe £2,500 out of five, or £1,500 out of three, and then you're expecting folk to pony up the cash flow difference. And that was the main reason. And the suggestion was that we could have a float. Now, I see that the motion sort of suggests that, and I think it suggests that maybe it would do that in the 18-19 tax year or rates year. But I would say to you, this isn't a revenue item. It doesn't need to be long-fingered. It's actually a reserves item, because having a sum of money, £30,000, £40,000, £50,000, sitting with, for instance, the Nicholas McRickard's crowd in Ballymote, sitting there, it's still cash flowing to council. It's not going anywhere. It's not been spent. It's simply been rotated between community organisations. So it's not a net expenditure. It's part of our reserves. So we don't need to long to kick it into the long grass in 18-19. We could actually, if we wanted to, it's a capital cash item, do it in 17-18. It's not a revenue item. So what I would suggest to you is that maybe we look at it that way and we consider that sum of money is actually part of our reserves, and we can keep our reserves in cash and bank. We can keep our reserves in many manifestations, but one of the ways we can keep our reserves is to have it by way of a rotating loan held by the community network. So the point I'm trying to make is that, yes, it was a good report, and in principle they're going in the right direction. I think they are not noticing the fact that it's not a revenue item, it's actually a cash reserve item, and therefore doesn't hit the profit and loss at all. And last of all, that it wasn't really intended to tackle the larger items, because we can go to UKIT or other charities for the larger capital items. It was intended to tackle grants of £3,000 to £5,000 and in that range. So, Chairperson, that's the...
I think, and thank you for that. It has been proposed and seconded, and I think that the motion itself has added to speeding up the application for grants for this year as well. You know, they're getting out a bit earlier, and I think that's the key to what you're saying there, that we apply for loans, or groups can apply for, not loans, but grants early in the year, and have a decision made early in the year, and have part of it distributed to them. It's not that complicated, but I think that we're probably getting there. Okay, any other points? All right, moving forward. The item 8, the MMA request for DA update, sorry. I had a tick there, and then I read financial assistance at 7 and jumped. Well, I'm doing my best to get through the meeting, I have to say that. Okay, we'll go back. Item 6, DA update.
Chair, very brief report this month. Monthly report from DEA, no action sheets included, but some details around the public meetings that the DEAs have undertaken. Two of the meetings focused on the health and wellbeing themes. We're still moving down through the community planning themes and trying to get as many people out for discussions and consultations. And then some information around a sports programme in Warren Point. No further update, Chair.
Yeah, I could just say it was a great success today. We went up last Friday, and the kids really had a great day out there. So, well done. Item 7, financial assistance. Sorry, Pete, were you looking in that
no,
last one?
No, item 7, no.
Oh. You're coming out, you're late. So.
Yeah, no, I'm coming in now, item 7.
All right. On item 7, financial assistance.
Yes, Chair, the financial assistance report previously was through SPNR is coming to us for the first time in AHD. The details, 457 applications under financial assistance call 1, and the themes are included there within the report. Following workshops rolled out across the district, I'm pleased to confirm that groups are becoming more competent in completing their applications. Unfortunately, this means we have a lot more successful applications, and our money has to go further. So you can see in year one, we had 44% of applicants deemed successful, year two, 56%, and this year we have 65% success rate. As a consequence, we've tried to provide grant aid to all of the groups who have been successful, so they have been awarded less money than they have originally requested in a lot of cases, following a value for money exercise. We will dispatch letters of offer subject to approval at council, and we are dispatching them at a slightly larger amount than some of the themes than what we have in terms of available budget. The reason for that is that we are aware in years gone by that some of the groups don't draw down all of the grants that they're awarded, and we're left with an underspend. So we're allocating an increased amount in some of the themes. Staff from the programmes unit are hoping to explore the opportunity of a score and ranking system as part of the review they're undertaking at the minute to avoid this problem in the future. And as I say, Chair, a lot of the information is anonymised. We'll be able to provide more detail once it's agreed at council.
Please.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, Janine, I think it's the last sentence there you probably alluded to. What I was going to ask anyhow. We get more detail on the applications. I suppose it's the pie chart at the start, and the stats breakdown by each area is great to see, but you know, just for applications received and awarded, I'd like to see, you know, more detail in the sense that of the bigger applications. I think it's Capital Sports and Community Capital, you know, the bigger grants. It's of the 1.2 million, that covered a million of that money that was sent out. And I'd like to see of each of the teams, it was broke down, because across them, 42 applications out of all the 300, that's 1 million out of the 1.2 million. And I'd like to see if that's where that's going across the areas. I'm keen to know how much of that's going into Steve Gullion. Not the details of the project, but to know that applications come in across all the DEAs, and of that 1 million, it's not all been focused on. What I keep happening on about is urban areas, and I want to see that rural areas are getting some of that pie too as well. So I suppose the pie chart's at the start, just delivery area and the applications awarded. If we could break them down by teams, it would be helpful as well. Thanks.
Okay. Chair, just very quickly, just I don't want to reiterate what I said the last time, but that very much stands. I think we need to look at the weighting of this process for next year in regards to what the community organisations or clubs can bring to the party. At this moment in time, we're just in a 50-50 match. I think we need to look, as rural development do, at the in-kind contributions that the clubs can bring. So, say a GAA club that is bringing land as an in-kind contribution, and maybe bricklayers, joiners and stuff like that, they can do a lot more themselves. It doesn't have to go out to contract. So they should be able to use that expertise that is free of charge to them within their own club to match fund an amount of money. That way we get more for our spend. And secondly, and this might be slightly more controversial, I think we initially set this capital match funding is what we were looking for. We were looking to the clubs and stuff that were going to the likes of the big lottery funds and going to the sport NIs and stuff like this, and SIP funds and stuff like that, and we're having to come up with a certain amount of match funding, and they just weren't able to do it. And we were creating these funds here as a way for them to try and get that match funding. They're the people that are bringing the biggest amount of money in, and it's external money from outside of the council, rather than constantly going back to us as a pot of money and looking for money off us all the time. So I think anybody that weighs down serious money from the Lexus Board NI or wherever, from that third party, we should be weighting their projects quite heavily, you know, on the quality side of the score, and we should be saying, well, yes, that's exactly what the council is trying to get you to do. We're trying to get you to take the reliance away from our local ratepayer and bring in money from outside bodies, and we should be holding our hand and trying to help them do that.
Okay. Is there a proposal to move forward? Yeah. David, Pete, thank you. Okay, we'll move on now to item 8, the MMA request for a donation. 1 minute. Janine.
Yes, Chair, this is a request in relating to the Moore Mountain Adventure. It's a youth challenge event that's been held in the district for a number of years now, and young people primarily are the target audience. 400 in total took part in last year's event. It has always been supported by the Irish Coast Guard, and late as last year, they lifted an injured child off the mountain for the organisers, and they come on a voluntary basis, and members are aware of the tragedy that befall them this year. This is a request for a one-off donation and the registration fees that have been collected for Moore Mountain Adventure 2016 to be donated to Irish Coast Guard for their future voluntary operation.
Proposed and seconded. Yeah. And sorry, Harry. You're sitting here in front of me.
Yeah. No, I can just say I couldn't praise enough for the work of the Irish Coast Guard. I mean, the work they do both north and south, second to none. And well, I'm happy to support their recommendation. I was going to propose it, but it's already done, so thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Harry. Right, moving on, thanks, Janine. Moving on to leisure and sport. Item 9, indoor leisure staff training days. Ronan.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, members, the report's there in front of you. Summary is, in Legacy Down, we used to close our leisure facilities for 4 days per annum to facilitate core staff training. Legacy knew they didn't. They've usually done outside of the staff shifts, usually on an overtime basis. The proposal here tonight is to ask members to approve that we consider 2 days per annum and keep it under review to see if it is cost effective and that our customers are satisfied. And depending on the outcome of that, we then move forward either on the same basis or we'd revert back and advise the council that we wouldn't be continuing with that.
Stephen. Sure, I'm happy to propose as long as we take the sort of line that we did in the old legacy down, is where we picked 2 very quiet days for the start, and it did save us money in overtime, so I'll propose that.
I'll second. Yeah, happy to second the exact same points. I think it makes sense if you're closing up for 2 days, as long as it's off peak season, and you get more out of the training if you've been closed for the 2 days, so I'll second the proposal, yeah.
Okay, moving second. No other comments? Thank you. Item 10, the press advertisement for SANS SA online funding.
Yes, Chair. We're asking the committee to give us approval to go out and advertise for 3 sessions across the district to help local sporting organisations secure funding. So they would become members of this organisation for a year, free of charge. Thereafter, if they wanted to continue, they would pay for it. The first year is free. And hopefully it will allow clubs to draw down external and additional funding options.
Yeah, Chair, just 1 point on it. I think it's a great idea, the local giving. I think it was just under £100 a year for the membership, but helps with the fundraising for clubs, and I know clubs can claim gift aid by using them as well. And I know they also match fund throughout the year. You know, I think it's 3 or 4 times a year they'll match fund up a certain amount as well. So it is excellent. For the advertising, the only one thing I'd have a concern about is the date for the Near Yard Centre. I know a number of groups, myself included, that would like to attend it, but it's on Thursday the 8th of June, which is a strange date for that. The only other option open to me is Kilkeel and Downpatrick. Is it something that we can look at on that date, being an election day that...
We haven't advertised it yet,
okay.
Subject to your approval, so I'll take that back. We'll need to speak with the organisation themselves and get a new date, but if we can do it, we'll get that changed.
Well, I'm happy to propose the advertising then.
Any notice?
Happy to second.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Thanks, Roman. Moving on to health and wellbeing, item 11. Service level agreement with drinking water inspectorates. Go on.
Thank you, Chair. The council carry out work, environmental health officers carry out work on behalf of the drinking water inspectorate, risk assessments, sampling private water supplies, investigations. We're just looking for recommendation that the council agree to sign the attached service level agreement. There's no resource implications. They pay fees, the test fees for any duties that we carry out on their behalf.
I have a proposer, Stephen, Pete, thank you. Moving on, item 12, funding request from Sustainable NI.
Thanks, Chair. Paper in front of you again. It's Sustainable Northern Ireland is a charity that's set up to advance the pursuit of sustainable development by local authorities and other bodies. And they also manage the local government Sustainable Development Forum. They're requesting a contribution of £5,000 for the membership of this council to the forum, and in return they'll sign the attached SLA, which also includes that they'll provide us with 10 days consultancy, as well as ongoing support and allow us to network and benchmark with other councils in this area. This will also be a useful support to the work of the Sustainable Development and Climate Change Stanton Forum and the Sustainability Section, so we're looking for the recommendation that the council agree to sign the service level agreement and provide funding of £5,000 to Sustainable NI.
Pete?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I don't remember this coming up last year, but it does say in the paper that we didn't support it last year due to budget constraints. I'm just wondering the difference in this year. Is it what other councils got out of being members of this, you know, the £5,000, or is it because it's going to be, I suppose, inevitable compliance through legislation is what it is saying, that, you know, in the future we're going to have to inevitably sign up to it, or is it, you know, we feel as if we're getting value for money because we didn't support it this time last year at the same price?
Well, to be fair, I suppose it's a mixture of those reasons. We didn't support it, it was probably something that fell through the cracks a wee bit between the legacy councils, And we did also, we still got a lot of the support last year through goodwill. With an increased emphasis on sustainability and with the new forum we've set up, we think that it will be useful. Hopefully, it will enable us to make savings that will justify the cost of it. And as I say, we also will get the 10 days consultancy. One of the things that they will help us with identifying funding opportunities, so we think it's value for money.
Yeah, I'm aware we did get the support last year from it, and maybe there's an obligation in this year to go ahead with it. But I suppose the point, you know, I was making is, I do feel it's going to be in the future. It is inevitable. You know, it's going to, through legislation, we're going to have to be compliant with it anyway. So, yeah, I'll propose it. Yeah, no problem.
Okay, page seconder. John, hi.
It's okay. No, I'm happy to support of being on the climate change thing. It is necessary. So, yep, thank you.
Okay. That's it. Can I just, thanks again, we thanked all the departments at the beginning of the meeting. Could I also thank the councillors for the way they participated in this committee over the past 12 months. It's been a bit of a pleasure dealing with people, and their courtesy to the chair and vice chair. Thanks again. Bye.